Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to Sacred Symbols Plus, a PlayStation podcast supplement. My name is Colin Moriarty. Today I'm joined by a very special guest indeed. Her name is Carolyn. Caro, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Not too bad today. It's been quiet so far. I have nothing to complain about.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. That's quite uplifting.
It's going a smooth day.
Good. I always have something to complain about.
So I don't know how I feel about your Jets shirt.
No, I'm sorry. You're in North Carolina, so are you a Panthers fan?
No, I'm actually a Broncos fan. We're not going to brag about that this season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, we're losers. It's okay. I'm trying to put out that positive Aaron Rodgers energy today, because the rumor is that maybe he'll come to us. That would be amazing. But I'm very glad to have you on the show today. Welcome. And first of all, I want to apologize for two things. Number one, I'll apologize for the easier thing first. Number one, as my audience knows, I was a journalist for years. I was at IGN for years. And when things happen, like what happened to you, I go into journalism mode and I start emailing people and reaching out. So I'm sorry, because I DM'd and emailed you a couple of times, which I think is annoying. So sorry for that.
No, you're totally fine. I was actually going through all of the DMs, all of my emails, like the last couple of days, because I wanted to get my statement out first and then start replying. But you're totally fine. I appreciate you reaching out. I watched your video, so it felt right to come on and chat with you.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. And the second thing that's what I wanted to say was, I'm sorry this happened to you. And I can kind of relate to you a little bit, which is why I think my audience knows that I'm interested in these kind of cancellation stories, because I was canceled in 2017 when I co-founded Kind of Funny over a stupid joke on Twitter. And when I see...
Wait,
when
you
I
co-founded Kind of Funny?
Yeah, that was my company.
I did not know that. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, thanks. Now, I've been doing Last Stand since 2017. But yeah, I co-founded it and was there for 2.5 years, I think, before I started doing this. And I'm in Virginia, so I'm just right north of you now.
Yeah, I'll be going through there here probably next month.
Sick. So I sympathize with you. And when I see stories like this, I want to just say I'm sorry, because I know how that feels. I know what it's like to kind of see who's who and what's what, and see things shake out over nothing. And I'm quite apologetic about that to you. So I wanted you to come on Sacred Symbols Plus so we can hear your story, hear what it's all about. And as you will learn, I guess, I'm a big note taker, so I have a lot of things here that I want to ask you. And I went through your statement, and I saw National Review, I think, talk to you and some others. But first and foremost, let's tell the audience who you are. Tell us about yourself, where you come from, how you found your way into the industry, all the rest.
So my name is Kara. I believe it or not, I got my first step into the gaming industry by doing hair. I was a cosmetologist. I was a stylist for 10 years. And one of my clients had a online kind of gaming news, reviews, that kind of stuff. And he asked me if I was interested in talking about games, reviewing games. I was like, yeah, sure. Like that. I think that sounds awesome. And then I went to a convention and he asked me if I could try to interview a few people. And I was instantly hooked. Like, I was like, all right, these are my people. I finally have found my place in the world. I've found what I love to do. And so I've interviewed mainly voice actors. And I've interviewed multiple people from, like, the Walking Dead whenever it was at its peak. And from there, I started going to more conventions and started making more connections. And I used to volunteer at a few conventions like DreamHack. And it was from a coworker within DreamHack that I actually heard about Limited Run. And he's just like, hey, like, I've applied for this position, but they want me to relocate. But I know that you're like right down the street from them, 2 hours away. But so I reached out. I was like, hey, I hear you're looking for community manager. I've streamed for the last like 6-7 years. Like, I know how to form a community and kind of foster it and keep it keep it growing, and I feel like I would be a great fit. I don't have the technical, like, I don't have a degree or anything like that, but I had that like hands-on experience with really building a community and creating content, and that's kind of where it started. That's how I kind of got into the industry.
All right, so you find your way into the industry and ultimately to Limited Run Games. In what capacity did you work there? Because you were the community manager, but you were also mm-hmm. public relations, or were you just the CM of the site?
So I handled a lot of the social media, making sure everything was scheduled, making sure that like our copywriter and our web developer had everything that they needed. I was kind of the behind the scenes person as well. I did all the streaming. I did a lot of like, I liked doing a lot of like the organizational stuff, whether it be making sure that marketing and the art department are conversing and kind of figuring out what all we need, making sure we have all the details for pricing and all that kind of stuff, everything that the marketing team needs for like information for the website and for the social posts. That was kind of what I helped gather.
Yeah. So like many, we have a small business. So like many small businesses, you wear many hats.
Yes.
Many things, but you were well ingratiated there, and you were there for more than 2 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. Just a little over 2 years. Yeah.
Nice. And, I'm not a huge physical games guy, but I actually have bought a few limited run games.
I spy the Castlevania one back there.
Exactly. Castlevania. It's like one of my very favorites. I couldn't not buy that. And so I liked what they did. And I know a couple people. I used to work with a couple people that are at there. Jeremy Parrish, Jared.
Oh, Penn, yeah. Amazing people. I love both of them.
And yeah, they were both coworkers of mine at IGN back in the day. And so I had no disrespect for Limited Run Games. I think that's personally for me changed quite a bit. I want to get into this situation, though, that happened with you. And of course, you said you wrote a statement, which I printed out and highlighted like I'm back in fucking college, in addition to some other things here. But what happened? I mean, I instead of me explaining it, do you want to kind of go into what ended up happening to you on January 6th?
What a day.
I know. My goodness.
January 6th of all days.
I know. My God. We have a new, it's a new January 6th now.
Your January 6th is so much different than my January 6th.
It's like being born on 9/11. I had a friend that was born on 9/11. Oh, and it's God. Like, oh man, that's the worst. That's horrible. But yeah, your January 6th was different. So tell me what happened this day.
So I was actually just getting over being sick. So I was working from home that day. And a coworker had sent me a message just being like, hey, I just want you to be aware there's this post going around, like people are talking, not, he didn't say anything about the company. He's just like, he's like, this is starting to go around. I just want you to be aware of it. And so it's just like, crap. All right, let's see what this is going to be all about. And then so is part of being a community manager, my job is to answer a lot of the social replies, whether it be through Discord, Twitter, Facebook, all of the platforms. And every time we had a new post, people would start dogpiling on that. So I was just like, all right, I'm not going to reply to anything. I'm just going to try and hold out, try and get some advice on how to handle it. So I had reached out to a couple of people and was just like, hey, I'm sure you've seen that this is going around. I don't know what to do. I'd love some guidance. From there, it was just kind of like sadly had to kind of just sit there, twiddle my thumbs and see all of the stuff kind of going around. And later that afternoon, I got a request to come into a call. And unfortunately, it was a notification that I was being released. I know I said this in my statement, but, and I said it in another interview yesterday, that like it, I wasn't the only one crying to say that it was rough. Like I could tell that they were really, really beat up about it. They talked to various people throughout the company and were trying to figure out something that they could do. But unfortunately, there was pressure from elsewhere to just go ahead and nix it just in case, because they were trying to avoid the bad publicity, which I can completely understand. And that's kind of the gist of it. And yeah, then they and had,
I'm sorry,
and they let me know that they were going to be making a statement about it. And so I saw that go up, and that's whenever shit really hit the fan.
Yeah, I was, that statement was very weird. That's why I was curious if you did PR for them too, because, I had talked to a couple of people behind the scenes and, that are familiar with the situation, I guess, in various ways. And, one person had said to me that, well, the statement sucked because they fired their PR person. And I was like, do you mean do they think you were doing PR, or that you were the writer of the verbiage that would go out to the public and all of that kind of stuff? So I don't know what that was all about, but I'm sorry to hear that it was such a difficult decision for them too. When you say from elsewhere, do you mean from Embracer?
I am not 100% sure. I'm really... After that, I kind of just didn't ask questions. It wasn't my place to really ask. I was just going to trust that they made the decision and kind of go from there. As much as I wanted to ask questions, I was like, it's probably best to not. They were really upset, and I could tell. But I honestly don't really know.
When you say so. They, do you mean like Josh, Doug, like leadership at Limited Run?
Well, Josh and Doug, actually, Josh wasn't in the call, but I reached out to them afterwards. I was like, hey, just so you guys know, like, I have no ill will. Like, I still consider you guys friends. Like, I loved working for you guys. And it was like, I could tell, like, just from like our conversations back and forth, that it was something that really ate at them. So they did not like that they were doing what they were doing.
And yeah, this is my question, is because it seems like you don't know, and I totally appreciate that, but I wonder where the... Like, who's responsible? I mean, because an important point of this, which I didn't see written up, I don't know if you talked about this on other appearances that you did or in other interviews that you gave, but I think an important thing to bring up here is what I brought up before, and we're a nerdy gaming podcast, so we're going to bring stuff like this up, is that Embracer bought Limited Run Games in the summer of 2022. Mm-hmm. So Limited Run Games is no longer an independent operation. Mm-hmm. And so the only inference one can make from that is that the orders came from either free mode leadership. So for people that are out there that don't know, Embracer runs in a series of families, like subfamilies: THQ Nordic, Gearbox, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Saber Interactive. And one of them is free mode. Under that umbrella, Limited Run Games was with like others like Middle Earth Enterprises and stuff like that. You would assume somewhere in there was the order to cut you, but I'm disappointed. See, I really appreciate and respect your conciliatory nature. And I want to get more into that, but, I'm surprised you don't want to know where the order came from, because I would love to know like why someone would capitulate to the founder of BronyCon. It's just like, a little strange.
I have my
assumptions,
but I don't want to put anybody on the spot or name names, because like I honestly don't know. It's just more of assumptions. I don't know whether it be the legal team or the PR company that they were working with or Embracer. I have no idea. So I imagine it was a combination of all three.
Yeah.
So, but well, I don't know.
That's fair. I mean, I respect that you don't want to put anyone on the spot without having all the information, which I respect completely. One thing I did want to ask you about, though, and I just mentioned it, was why are you so conciliatory? I think it says a lot about your spirit. Which is awesome, and kindness. But do you not, and I don't want to, you know, I don't, it's like, I feel like I'm Anakin, you know, talking or, you know, getting talked to by Palpatine or something, or it's like, don't you have any dark energy inside of you? I'm not trying to say that. It's just, do you like, where's the righteous indignation and the anger over a situation where you were, and I think many people's opinions, just totally victimized? I appreciate the conciliatory nature, but I'm wondering where that comes from.
I've just always tried to be that person that takes the higher ground. And I could be bitter. I could be petty. I could be extremely petty, but that does no benefit for anybody. Like, I could have sat here and wallowed for the last 3 weeks, and that wouldn't have changed the outcome. Mm. So I just choose to be like, all right, like, this kind of went viral. It got a lot of views, and I've had a lot of opportunities actually coming up because of it. So I'm trying to see it as a what is the word I'm trying to look for? It's basically a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, I understand
because
that.
It's really kind of opened a lot of doors for me inadvertently. I know these people were trying to ruin my life, but they actually probably made it better. They gave me like opportunities. So I'm just trying to look. I've always tried to be a positive person, which is why I was actually stepping down from social media in the first place. It's because it's just filled with negativity from everywhere. Like, truly. I've made the statement that, like, you could say you like puppies and be like, well, cats are cool, too. Why didn't you say anything about cats? And yeah, I'm just like, really, guys, like.
It's the worst. It's the total worst. We say that on our shows all the time. Back in the fall of 2021, I stopped posting on Twitter except to promote our stuff, just so people knew I was alive. But I stopped interacting, stopped answering anything for that very exact reason. I felt like it was becoming too parasocial in some way, like people know you and you just don't, mm-hmm. you don't know me. I don't want your opinions on my friendships. I don't, you know, like this BronyCon person was busting your balls for following someone like Dave Rubin. Like, Dave Rubin's a personal friend of mine, like a real life friend of mine. And people would, you know, sound off on that. Like, I give a shit what they think about my personal friendships. Like they know mm-hmm. me, like they know Dave, like they know the nature of our relationship. So I disabused people of that by just removing myself from the element entirely. And mm-hmm. I must tell you, Kara, it brings much peace.
When it you does. Don't,
for about a week, I was like, oh, I have to, something would happen. And I'd be like, oh, I have to say something about this. And then after a while, you're like, oh, no, I don't. And then you just, and then you wonder why you ever did it all. So I'm really glad mm-hmm. to hear that. And I wanted to ask you about that too in a moment, because I saw that you were saying that you were beginning to kind of segue out of it in your statement. And I just want to go back and say, I appreciate that spirit of that conciliatory spirit. Living well is the best revenge. I don't have the strength I think you do to totally just do it that way. Because people can say the same thing, and I could say the same thing about my own situation, where it's like what happened to me with Kinda Funny and being sold out basically by a lot of people for no reason, was that I just made more money and made a bigger company. You know, like it's like, OK, I guess ultimately I it worked in that you just made me even better off and made my life better. And all I had to do is stick true to myself and stay true to myself. Mm-hmm. And people see that. So I think people are going to see that with you, too. And I hope that it works out for you in that way. And since you don't have the pettiness that I have inside me at times, hopefully it'll work out for you in an even better way than it worked out for me. Let me touch back on this, Kara, with the idea you said in your statement. Where, can't get my fucking paper straight.
Get your notes.
I got to get my notes. You say in your statement that you were beginning to kind of segue off and out of that. Yes. What were you leaving? I couldn't quite understand. Were you beginning to leave the company, or are you going to go do something else within the company?
I was going to be moving to a different position within the marketing team.
Oh, okay, cool.
More of like a organizational and I was going to be trained to do some of the graphic design, that kind of stuff.
Okay. So that must be doubly disappointing for you then, because I wanted to make sure I verified that, because I didn't know if it meant like, well, I'm going to go maybe kind of get out of here. And so it's kind of works out, but it sucks. They kind of snuffed you out at a time when you were moving over and hopefully moving on. I mean, this is a small company, so you're at the very nucleus of it, no matter where you are. And I'm sorry about that. I just think it sucks. I have a lot of sympathy for you.
The biggest thing I think that has really upset me over the whole thing is there's a lot of developers out there that are getting hurt by this. A lot of indie developers that are being affected by this. And that's one thing I don't want. Like, I know a lot of people want to boycott LRG, but you've got to think about these small developers that are having these awesome opportunities that are really being affected by it all. And that breaks my heart because these developers do deserve to sell their games. Like, they work hard on it. And they, and the one thing every person, like every game dev wants is to be able to hold the game that you worked on in your hands. And that's the biggest thing that I've really been upset about. And it's been frustrating to me for that.
Well, that's really nice of you, because yes, people have come to your defense in a major way, at least on social media, forcing limited run games to lock down their Twitter account, not lock it down, but make sure no one can respond. You only quote tweet, but people are still going at it to this day. I look today, people, I mean, it's the numbers aren't as high, but people are still badgering them and all of that. And again, I think it speaks to the conciliatory and kind nature of you that you're most worried about, not yourself, but about the people's products that are being affected. I want to ask you this because, and I hope it doesn't come out of left field. Are you Christian?
I was baptized. I was Christian, but I don't consider myself religious.
Okay. I was just curious if like your, it sounds lame, but like your kindness. I know a lot of church going people that have the same kind of roll with it mentality. And I just didn't know if it came from maybe your religion. That's why I wanted to.
I'm the one thing that I see myself as I'm not a political person and I'm not a religious person. I'm a values person. Like, do unto others as you would like others to do unto you. Like the golden rule. Don't be a dick.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So that's interesting. So my next question was going to be your political persuasion, if it's even important, but you wouldn't necessarily identify yourself as that, as left or right or liberal or conservative.
I actually consider myself more of a centrist because there's a lot of things I agree with on both. It's kind of that middle ground. I was the middle kid growing up. I was always the mediator. I was the one who was breaking up the fights, like keeping my siblings from killing each other, being mad at each other. I'm like, okay, sit down. I want to hear your story and I want to hear your story and talk it over. I think that's the biggest thing is you've got to be willing to talk and you've got to be willing to have the conversation instead of just jumping straight to accusations.
Fair enough. And you say in your statement, quote, I truly believe that everyone has the right to love who they want to love and be who they want to be, so long as they are not hurting anyone else. My only hesitation is when children get involved. That's literally it. I would totally agree. I mean, I 110% agree with you on that statement. And I actually think most people would. That's why I think it's so disappointing, I think, from my perspective and some others, that that Embrace or whoever it was capitulated to such a questionable person in this Purple Tinker person who, again, in the course of my journalism, when I was emailing you several times, I was emailing everyone else, including your bosses at LRG, Purple Tinker, everyone. I was trying to get everyone to talk to me. And I think I was the reason that Purple Tinker ultimately released that statement they did. But I wanted to ask you about this idea. It was something actually my fiance and I were talking about when I was preparing for this, and I was just kind of like wondering, like, what kind of things should I ask? Like, what's a good course of inquiry with Kara? And one thing I came up with was this idea that when I had my cancellation, in quotes, part of my spirit, my personal spirit told me I owe it to others to fight back in some way, to say, no, there's no way I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not apologizing for anything. And fuck you all for doing this to me. And that was really that's not very big of me in some way, I suppose, but it resonated in a major way with audiences across the spectrum who were like, no, you're right. You didn't. Someone's got to stand up and say no. And all these years later, it's still happening. But yet I feel in you and just talking to you this brief time that you are a reluctant combatant in the culture war at at the most. So yeah. do you feel a pressure, a pull and push and pull to say like, well, since I found myself in this position, do I take a stand? And it doesn't mean you have to do something or start a show or be an mm-hmm. asshole, but to just say like, fuck this, like this is wrong.
I completely agree.
Yeah. Or do you feel
I
like,
do.
Yeah, yeah, please.
I would like to kind of speak on it more about how cancel culture is just so toxic and it's nothing but online bullying. Like, it is not the internet's job to go and say like, hey, this person is doing this. If you don't release them, then I'm going to make sure that the internet hates you. Like, it is the company's job to be like, okay, I'm going to look into this. If we see something unsavory, we'll have a discussion about it. And I think these people who are so gung-ho on cancel culture and canceling people, canceling companies, boycotting, it's boredom. And that they feel like they are doing good in the world when in actuality they are hurting more people than they can possibly imagine. Like, people who aren't even involved are being hurt. And yeah, I feel like I need to stick up for myself. And that's why I've started accepting like interviews, podcasts and stuff, is because I've always been very vocal about being against cancel culture. And like, you see it, because I follow a lot of like streamers, a lot of like content creators. And that's where a lot of the things that I see on social media come from, is just how absolutely vicious people can be if they don't agree with you. And there's just nothing wrong like with disagreeing with somebody. Just I don't know if it's just from being in marketing and being in content creation for the last few years, but I really had to get a thick skin. And so a lot of things don't bother me anymore. Like, mm-hmm. like I said in my statement, like, if you don't like something, vote with your wallet and move on. Like, that's all it takes sometimes. There's totally. No need to go out and attack somebody.
Yeah, it's well said. And thick skin is what it's all about. I get because I'm emailing people all the time. I actually emailed a journalist yesterday from Kotaku with a bunch of things, and they emailed me back and said, it just said, Colin, go fuck yourself as the response. And I CC'd my fiance, who's our coordinator, Micah, on it. And I was like, I'm like, this is just my life for years. Like, I'm totally used to it. It really doesn't bother me very much anymore, but you have to keep trying and kind of putting yourself out there and then just dealing with so much abuse. It does get tiring after a while. And what bothers me about it is the selective nature of it, because you said, and for people, I guess I should have said this at the beginning, but you tweeted out, and this is what you tweet out 7 years ago, by the way, you said this. Wait, where is it? Oh, yeah, here it is. If you think the number of trans crying about using a bathroom is higher than the pervs using the excuse, then you are what is wrong with this world. This was all you said. I mean, this seems to be just an anodyne opinion, frankly, from a different, I hate to say it because we're in the internet era now, but it's like almost like a different era of discourse, and it's nothing. And you know what really bothers me about it is that it's totally selective. Patrick Klepek, journalist, he can make rape jokes and draw horrible cartoons and all this inappropriate shit. It's all over the internet. He's in the in-group, so it doesn't matter. Danny O'Dwyer from NoClip can say all sorts of horrible shit on Twitter and it's all documented, but he's in the in-group. It's totally okay. And so on and so on and so on and so on. But when you're not in the right in-group, then you get subsumed by cancel culture. I mean, it's so funny because you were talking about how you've always been against it. And I was against it too, though it was more nascent. And you never expect to be the one that gets caught up in it, where you're like the character of the day on Twitter or whatever. And it's an unfortunate situation to find yourself in. What did your family and friends think of what happened?
they were surprised. Like my I was in a group text with my family because I wanted to reach out to a lawyer before I made my statement, just as like I wanted to have them look over it and just be like, hey, is this going to be like, can I protect myself with this? I would just want to make sure like my family's protected. I want to make sure that my friends are going to be good. My brother and sister both were like, we really didn't expect you of all people to the one to ask if anybody knew a lawyer.
Yeah.
like there's, cause I'm always like I said, I'm always the mediator. I'm always kind of the middle ground in the family. And, they were surprised. They honestly were surprised. They're like, this is really, really dumb that this is happening, but they've been nothing but supportive. Like my entire family, like my little sister got married the weekend after it, and after all this happened, and all of our family members were coming up to me and like giving me hugs, being like, hey, we're glad that you're doing okay, and that you're going to stand your ground, that kind of stuff. So they I did my first interview on, I think it was Monday, with Ripperverse, and my mom called me after she watched it and was just like, I have never been more proud. And it absolutely, like, my mom is not the type of person who really like calls. I don't talk to my mom on like a daily basis. And her calling me first and to say that, like, it, like I was in tears. Like it was one of those where I do feel like I did something good by sticking up for myself and not letting people get me down and trying to handle it with as much civility as possible. Because like this is the gaming industry and it's something I absolutely love and it's something I don't want to get blacklisted from. Like I want to continue my like trying to find opportunities within gaming, and it's something that, yes, I could be petty and burn bridges, but I'm not going to, because I value my future more than what somebody on the internet is trying to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, fair enough. I really, it's interesting. I wonder if this happened to you when I was still a Kind of Funny, and then what happened to me. A Kind of Funny happened. If I would have had an example, a different example of a direction to go in. I don't think I tried to burn any bridges down. It just happened that way because people were so ruthless towards me and so unkind towards me that I personally didn't have and don't have the strength to overcome it. I always tell people, like, I'm petty as hell. Like you don't have to act out on it. I don't talk about it, but it's like I keep a mental list of what people said to me. And when they get laid off or they wash out or they fuck up or they're gone or whatever, it's like, bye. You know, like I don't have that kind spirit. So I almost kind of wish to have, or not wish, but would be interested in having a different example to have to worked off of in my era, where it's like, well, you could have also done it this way. But I just don't think people were very nice to me. I don't think there was any chance for me to rehabilitate myself. Which is, I guess, one piece of advice, although you didn't solicit it, that I would give you, is that there are just going to be, what I've learned is that people on the internet and people in this industry are so ruthless and so unkind in lots of different ways that you're pegged and they'll never let it go. You know, so I really hope that turning the other cheek affords you many opportunities. And it sounds like you had talked about, I'm not going to ask you what they are, of course, but it sounds like those are already cropping up for you. And so I'm really happy to hear that. I wanted to ask you about Hogwarts Legacy. You told National Review, and I mean, we talked about it on our show. I assume this is where it came from. You tweeted out in December, feelings on Hogwarts Legacy game. Curious to see what people are thinking. An ambassador wrote that. And then you responded, I'm personally looking forward to it. The more I see gameplay, the more excited I get. It's hitting all the marks I've been wanting for a Harry Potter game. That's literally maybe what started. You would think that
I don't know I have gotten a couple of messages from people who are just like, you could have avoided this if you hadn't have done this. And it's just like, so you were probably the person who kind of put the bug in somebody's ear to try and look into my past or that kind of stuff. And I find it hilarious that somebody could be so bitter that they wanted to start a witch hunt against me, or they were trying to go after LRG and I was just the easy target.
Oh, certainly. You're low hanging fruit for them, you know? And that's why I'm so disappointed in just that. It's just unbelievable. I mean, you work in North Carolina. It's an at-will state. You say that in your statement. We talked about that on the show before your statement, because I was like, I'm pretty sure they can fire her for any reason. But I actually think I say this as an employer, is that I kind of think that that's messed up, that someone can just be like, no, I don't like the color of your hair. See ya. I appreciate that there are financial reasons, there are natural fiduciary reasons, all these different things. But I find it so unfair that you have no recourse in this situation. But to underline it, you don't. Right. I mean, you looked into that. You talked to a lawyer and that's basically what they told you, I assume.
Yeah.
Okay. So just for anyone that's wondering out there, why not get more litigious? There really is no option to do so. And I think, again, as an employer, I think that that's unfair. I think Dustin's listening, he's our executive producer. If I walked in and said, Dustin, I don't like your dumb fucking haircut, get out of here, he wouldn't be able to, you know, he wouldn't have any recourse. But you should probably have recourse, and your haircut's not dumb. That's a lie.
That's your opinion. That's just my opinion. Not a fact.
What kind of feedback did you get from others in the company? I talked about Jeremy and Jared, two of them I know, nice guys, but certainly in the thralls of social justice, no doubt about it. I mean, in a hardcore way. So I am wondering, did the company have that vibe, and were the people in the company cool? I mean,
people in the company were awesome. Like, Jared and I used to talk all the time, and like, we had very differing opinions, but we got along great. Like, Jared was one of my favorite people at the company. He used to come in and just chat with me almost every morning just to make sure that I'm doing well. Like, one of the most kind-hearted people I've ever met. And he was always there if I was having a bad day. Like, so, like, it wasn't a hostile environment at all.
That's so interesting, because you wrote this in your statement. I had never been written up or reprimanded. I had never abused power or personal opinions on various social channels. I even refrained from commenting or interacting with any political content or controversial topics on my social media account. And you reiterate that to National Review. It says, after I started at LRG, I didn't even interact or like with or retweet anything that was considered political or controversial. I tried to be very aware of that because I knew I was representing a company. So I actively tried to stay out of that kind of thing. This is just so unfair. I just can't believe it. I can't believe it.
It's frustrating.
It. Yeah,
it is. It is very frustrating. And I am upset. I wouldn't consider myself hateful about it, because I mean, that's not going to do me any good. Like, I've just got to pick myself up and see what's going to be next.
So is there any chance of reconciliation or because this was a situation where I was wondering, I'm like, are they going to have to apologize for this and take and hire this person back? Because this doesn't seem to be going the way they thought it was going to go. This seemed to have made it way worse, actually.
I don't think that they will apologize, and I don't think that they're going to try and get me back. And even if they did, I would say no, because that trust is broken.
Good.
The trust is gone.
Very good. Well, I've encouraged my audience to not give them another dollar. And I think that and while I appreciate your conciliatory nature, I think that you're absolutely right that the only thing businesses respect is money. And at the end of the day, if you withdraw the money from them, then no amount of social posturing and goodwill and anything is going to save you. And so I agree with you. It only goes so far to beat up whoever's doing the community managing stuff over there now, or people online or whatever, but really just not buying things is the ultimate way to destroy a company. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Limited Run Games will not get another dollar from me ever. And I know a lot of people in my audience feel exactly the same way. And we have many, many, many thousands of people in our audience, and we're getting a lot of that feedback too. People canceling their orders, people vowing to never do business with them again. I know you say you're concerned about the developers, but does it feel good that people have kind of rallied around you in this way, even if you feel like maybe it's ill-directed?
It's a bittersweet feeling to me because I love that a lot of people are on my side. Like, it's seriously like a 99.8% of people are on my side versus the 0.2% who are sending me death threats. Right. So,
and who for some reason have complete control.
Of course.
No one understands how that happened. But the founder of BronyCon has employment control over everyone at Limited Run Games, apparently. So everyone be careful over there.
And just so you know, I actually was blocked before, I think I got blocked by them that morning. So I wasn't even able to see anything that was going on that afternoon unless I pulled up an incognito window, which I did.
Yes, of course. And I 2 years ago before I left Twitter, I actually unblocked everyone I ever blocked and was just like, fine, fuck it. I'm going to ignore you if you want to be mean to me, but you can give me that, generate that.
I don't have them blocked. I want them to see that they have basically aided in my success.
Yes.
They're perfectly welcome to sit there and stew over how they inadvertently benefited me.
Yes, exactly. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just, I find it funny. And I'm just like, nope, you can sit there and see how this backfired.
Yeah, it's a Pyrrhic thing for them at the very least. And believe me, I told Purple Tinker exactly what I thought when we were emailing. So I think that person's a hypocrite and a loser and has been accused, by the way, of, I don't know if it's true or not, heinous things. So people can go read about Purple Tinker if they want to see who's throwing stones from. I don't even know if you would call it glass houses, but it's like it's like throwing it from a house on fire, holding gasoline is like where they were throwing rocks from. Very strange, very, 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 very strange and unfortunate situation. And I'm glad to hear that you would never give them the time of day again, because I respect that. Did you get any feedback from people in the industry outside of Limited Run Games that were people reaching out to you? Because you must have made so many relationships in your position.
I've had a handful of developers that I've worked with reach out to me and say, hey, this is fucked up. Like, I don't like this. You were done dirty. And that meant a lot. There's been a handful of them, but
not as many as you'd like, right? Not as many as you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I know.
But it's definitely felt good to have people that have worked with me and that know where I stand or know that I'm not a hateful person.
Yeah, so. You don't strike me as one, and certainly I'm not either. But you can, again, with a lot of the people. You're never going to win. And a lot of people are just so scared. So many cowards and spineless people in the world that just go along, get along, and don't care what happens to those around them. And I don't live my life like that at all. And it doesn't seem like you live your life like that either. So
it's not worth my time or my energy.
So, I'm glad to hear that. I'm wondering if you had an option, what do you want to do next? Because I think you said, I don't know where you said it, or maybe we said it earlier in here. You can get back into content creation. There's other job opportunities. You're obviously trying to remain cordial in such a way as to not burn bridges, as we said earlier, too. So what would you like to do?
I have no idea. I have no idea what I want to do next. I'd like to get, I think something I would enjoy doing is something more like brand management or project management, which was going to be something I was going to be transitioning to anyway. I was ready to stop being like the forward facing person mm-hmm. with the company. And so I don't know. I don't know if I want to get back into like content creation of my own, which I probably will while I have some downtime.
Might as well fill your time and take advantage of a little bit of the name you've made for yourself simply by being, you know, the victim and a kind victim of a situation, I think you'd make it work for yourself in a great way. And I really respect that. I know what it's like to be in this position from behind the scenes too, where a lot of people are pulling you in a lot of different directions and trying to get you to do and say things. And the opportunities that came up for me when I left, I mean, I could have gone totally into politics after Kind of Funny if I wanted to, and had a pretty lucrative career. But I know there's a lot of resistance to that too. I had to kind of shrug that stuff off too and stay true to myself. So I can only imagine what your inbox looked like. But yeah,
it's a little crazy.
I don't know what else to say other than I'm sorry. I'm glad that I got to talk to you, and it's good to meet you in this way anyway. And just know that
if you ever want to talk games, let me know.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I was going to say we've met people this way by doing ancillary interviews, and then we end up bringing them in for actual game conversations, and that's happened many times. So we'll definitely have you back. I'm curious, what kind of games do you play? Are you a console gamer?
I have all of them. I have right now, my Steam Deck is getting the most love. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's right here.
Yeah. Very cool.
I pre-ordered Hogwarts Legacy for the PS5.
Nice.
I think the game that I'm really looking forward to the most this year is Starfield.
Oh, okay, cool.
I was huge, huge No Man's Sky fan. So I just kind of, it feels like it's going to check all the boxes for me that I got from No Man's Sky, but also have a really good narrative, which is something I'm excited about. But I like, I like the cozy games, and the game I put way too much time into is Genshin Impact.
Oh, okay.
It's my go-to.
Well, you'd be very welcome on our show. I mean, we do spoiler casts and review discussions for big releases. We have a rule. So on Sacred Symbols, we don't accept free games, early access, preview builds, anything like that. We buy all of our own games and play whatever we want. That's kind of the rule of the show.
I like that.
Thank you. And it's worked out great. Having a connection has meant nothing to our success at all, or having no connections has meant nothing. In fact, it legitimizes us because we literally don't get anything from the publishers, and most of us hate me anyway. Hogwarts Legacy would be a game I think we would definitely want to have you on for, because I feel like I'm going to play it and maybe that's it. So maybe you and I can sit down and have a conversation about it, especially I'm an ignoramus with Hogwarts, with the world of Harry Potter. I haven't read anything but the first three books a long time ago. So I'm excited to play it. So we will definitely do that. We will definitely have you back if you're willing to do so in February or March, and we'll talk about it.
Actually, was just in Virginia back in November. I think it was in like Leesburg. Mm-hmm. There was this big Forbidden Forest event where they like recreated the Forbidden Forest. And it was all like official Harry Potter licensed. I went with my best friend and it was absolutely amazing. So I've been a Harry Potter fan my whole life. Like,
awesome.
I still have the first editions of all the books that came out. So
yeah, my friend Nick Scarpino, that I co-founded Kind of Funny with, was a huge Harry Potter fan. He was always my conduit into it. I liked it, but mm-hmm. I just never continued. So I kept saying on the show, like, this may be a way to grab me again and get me interested in it, especially because I think it's a prequel, right? It like takes place in the 1800s or something. So it sounds neat.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely love to have you on, especially because you have a mind for Harry Potter, and we'll talk about it and you can educate me on that. And yeah, in the meantime, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today and taking the time to read our messages. I know you were inundated with DMs, and I just want to reiterate one more time that I really, really respect and appreciate your kind spirit and spirit of basic reconciliation and decency. I think that people can learn a lot from that, including me. So
thank you.
Yeah.
I
so thank
appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
No problem. People can find you on Twitter, or are you on other social media feeds or platforms as well? Or is that basically it?
Twitter, Instagram are my main ones.
Okay. Cool.
I do stream on Strit on Twitch. I don't know if I'm going to try any other platforms. We'll see. I do have a link tree on my Twitter account that shows where everybody can find me.
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you again for your time. We'll talk soon. And thank you all out there for your love, kindness, and support of all things Sacred Symbols, Sacred Symbols Plus, Last Stand Media. We appreciate you. We couldn't do without you. And we'll see you next time. Until then, goodbye. Sacred Symbols, a PlayStation podcast, is a product and trademark of Last Stand Media and Collins Last Stand, LLC, and is proudly recorded in the USA. The show is conceived by, is written by, and is directed by me, Colin Moriarty. My co-hosts are Chris Raygun Maldonado and Dustin Furman. The show is produced by executive producer Dustin Furman. It's edited by associate producer Ben Smith. All of Last Stand's theme music is by my best friend, Ramon Narvaez. As you know, all of Last Stand's shows, including Sacred Symbols, are fan-funded on Patreon at patreon.com/laststandmedia. The following names are at the producer level on Patreon, our highest tier, and we're grateful for your thoughtful and kind contributions to our independent endeavor. Thank you. Miguel A. Brewer, Stephen Nieder, Ross Marenka, Morgan Ashley, Azan, Michael Vecchio, Jerome Ferreira, SL the FMA, Daniel D. Amore, Brad Cooley, Jeremy Key, Patrick Leslie, Malachi Wall, Dave Cowell, Donald John Vader, Stephen Innerfield, Sean Llewellyn, Alucard C99, Nate Izod, Hargeet Johnny, Ellis, Logan Turner, Josh Sullinger, Bloodborne Cart, Gunner 117, Sean McCarthy, Andrew Roman, Jacob Donovan, Eduardo Perez, My Name is Mayo, Tack Track, Eddie Medina, Jason Arzan, Sean Hatfield, Christopher Knox, Sean Gulati, Grayson Maxwell, Cody Woodall, Sorta Serious Gaming, Colin Farley, Mark Arnold, Whiskey Sin, Zia Parix, Relentless Rex, Alan T, Drew Mullen, Panana Beal, Christian R, Jad Rita, Patrick Skipper, Brian Hernandez Espinoza, Remington Wilson, Dustin Graff, Zach Cohen, Peyton Stone, Josh Allen Rui, Troy Walters, John Keegan, Michael Buffel, Dan Root, Asak Paredes, Dante Sharp, Talisman, Christopher Morgan, Randall Hulsey, Dio or Die, Nuke Dukem, Jim Bob 56, William Holbert, T-Bone 007, Josh Godfrey, Kalike Souza, Vornak, Betty Ann Moriarty, Ross Chandler, H-Trons, Antonio C, Ryan, Jay Getter, Bjorn Campbell, Theo, Jeff Mercado, Gregory Savinsky, Jordan Gale, Love Fortuna, John Zeal, Boots, Tyler Brown, Megadeth, Poot, Gavin Newland, Alex Lapierre, Saul Balcazar, Birdo64, Raul Melendez, Eric Harden, Matt Flowers, Kinnums, Joseph Baker, DB Winters, Kendrick Callis, Jimmy Rodriguez, Caswell, TB Lightning, Dave Alvarez, Will Hernandez, Chris Galvin, Mason Cadillac, Ali Fritz, Zach Allum, Kyle Hagel, Colin Love, Daryl E. Naiman, Ryan R. Kittredge, Toby Ryland, Stewie108, Patrick Montgomery, DB Cooper, Richter86, Todd B. Canning, Noah J. Stevens, Barrett Boswell, Christopher DeVio, Chris Morton, Johnny Waffles, Roto24, Jonathan Coach, Sean Mason, Josh Gravelick, Jordan Town, Brian Chan, Organic Produce, Carlos Algarit, Mike Menzel, James Hayes, Richard Heber, Ebert III, Miranda Grubba, Joosh, Martin Beck, Joey Andrzejczyk, Nathan R., Joe McPartland, Gary Cavallo, Christopher Moore, Jacob Bell, Dennis Usel, Lou and Ray Loper, Jonathan Cortez, Supernova Smith, John Schultz, Tom Quinn, Anton K., Alan Tremblay, Tyler Bello, Ryan T. Mandel, Pork and Beans, Tony Zaniga, Robbie Hensley, Shane Miller, Alex Cabrera, Corey Dustin, Hugo's Desk, Peter Reynolds, Anthony Vasquez, Adam Kinniston, William O'Carroll, Phil Crone, Throw7, Adam Nix, Josh McKinney, Michael Gates, Alex Gates, Ryan Robertson, Sean Chandler, Lockmore, Gio Corsi, Joey Gonhaliker, Alex Monez, Gerald Pennington, Justin Payne, Justin Wagner, Austin Riley, Paul Joyce, Alan Hopkins, Chad Lewis, Enrique Perez, Joshua Smallwood, Logan Willis, Shane Rayum, Spencer Brand, Don Lee, John Cordero, Ashley Carlson, Marius Garson Peterson, Ryan Greenwood, Tyler Harris, Patrick Harper, Mad Mock Media, Bo Burkholz, and Jonathan Rice.